Russia.
Different class!
Get it back up! Get it back up! Get it back up!
Goal for South Africa! Goal for all Africa!
I want my players to win, but I also want my players to go on a holiday.
This is it!
The nation holds its breath.
Yes,
you felt that good since Archie Gemmell scored against Holland in 1978.
All right, welcome along to Team 33. I'm Raf Giallo. You can get in touch with us on Twitter at Team 33. That's all in words. We're also on Facebook and also on iTunes. Coming up later in the show, we've got a chat with Rogan Taylor. He is an author of a book about Ferenc Puskás and Hungary, but it came out a long time ago. He's just an aficionado of that team and that player. But that is coming up later. What we do have in studio, though, at the moment is a TV that's on with England and Colombia, and football is currently coming home because England are just leading 1-0.
And deservedly so.
Deservedly so. So obviously, if you're listening to this later tonight, you'll know. You'll know what the result is. You'll know.
We're doing great radio here again.
Yes, once again. Joe Coffey, you're here.
Raf.
Derek Ryan.
Hello.
Killian Woods.
Raf.
Now, the first half wasn't much use. The penalty, though, that led to the
should
Kane
have been a red card for Colombia.
Yeah.
Well, oh no, not the penalty. No,
I'm talking about the.
Oh, you're talking about the headbutt.
Yeah, headbutt. Yeah, in the first.
I'm surprised.
That's the only thing that. Yeah,
they went to VAR.
Went to VAR.
How do you give a yellow card for that?
Absolutely. Like the yellow card again makes no sense. Either it's a red card or it's nothing.
Yeah. There was intent. Even though he didn't really make much connection, there was intent for a headbutt there. So
like the first bit obviously went towards his chest, and you're like, okay, that's nothing. And then when it hit his head. But anyway, yeah, the penalty second half.
This has probably been the best second round of World Cup matches that I can remember.
Yeah, let's talk about them. So
like next round goes well.
Joe.
If next round goes well,
great segue.
You're tipping onto like this is probably one of the best in my lifetime. Anyway,
if
the next round goes round could be a bore. We're only at round 16.
I would always have felt that France 98 was the best World Cup my lifetime, because I can't really remember USA 94.
Yeah, so, I was too young for that.
Yeah, so
didn't even like football at the time.
Yeah, and Brassham would like say you still don't.
Certainly would.
But
98 was a great World Cup.
98 was a great World Cup. I didn't like 0-2. I just felt that all the teams were shagged going into it, and that's why you had, you know, a crap German team against a decent Brazil team, but you had useless teams like South Korea making it thanks to some dodgy referees.
Oh yeah.
Interestingly, I was reading about that referee recently.
Byron Moreno.
Yeah, he was like
didn't end up very well.
He ended up in jail in America for smuggling heroin or something mad like that.
The ref between South Korea and Italy.
Yeah.
Oh, did he?
Oh he was.
That was Trapp, wasn't it? Trapp was
the Italy manager.
Italy manager.
And like he made loads of bizarre decisions in that game, including ruling out a perfectly legitimate Italian goal. And then the South Korea hit Italy with the sucker punch golden goal during extra time.
Yeah,
and then there was the Spain game right after where Spain had about two goals, went to penalties.
And then the South Korean keeper kept coming 5 miles off his line like Kasper Schmeichel the last night. But no, in fairness to Kasper Schmeichel, the only reason I single him out was because the first penalty that
Modric missed,
he was so far off his line.
Yeah.
And how it wasn't spotted is beyond
but it's never
belief.
Policed. I know we were talking about before with the I think it was yourself, Derek, the Ireland under 17 keeper. He must be sickened.
Oh yeah, watching this World Cup especially, like say watching Kasper Schmeichel the other day, where, you know, everyone's calling Schmeichel a hero, and rightly so, because he did make some unbelievable saves from penalties, but at the same time, was he on his line for any of the penalties?
No.
You know what I mean? He was off his line for all of them, at the same time,
that was repeated by the.
But the point is that it's been repeated.
This game is really feisty as well, and it's getting feisty. The Colombian players are kind of losing their heads.
Colombia seem to have lost the plot. They're kind of like, do you remember United when Keane was playing and they'd like march round after the referee when he made a decision?
That one time.
It's burned into my mind.
That was a dive there by him.
Terrible dive.
By Harry Maguire.
He should definitely get booked by that for that. But anyway, I think that it's been a pretty good second round. I mean, you had two good games on Saturday, two boring games, but dramatic, particularly in the second game, dramatic end. Like the Croatia Denmark ending was really interesting, and like, I mean, Russia Spain was just a terrible match. Full stop.
Actually, do you think it's good for the tournament that Russia have gone further? No, or would you prefer? I think I would have preferred Spain.
Yeah,
to go through.
But Spain are just as bad.
Their football is just it's
There's no movement. I mean, we'll never know.
Yeah, but the potential to be a lot better. Do you get me? Whereas
we'll never know what could have happened with Spain if they'd held on to their manager. But they have become just an average team now, where they're just playing this really boring type of football.
And they've gone back to becoming the underachievers that I remember them when I was a kid.
The underachievers, fair enough. I wouldn't call them an average team.
But they play average football.
No, I think the point is that they play very similar football to the way they did. Okay, not the same, but like, they've been kind of found out insofar as teams can now counteract them a lot easier.
And they're missing Xavi. Xavi made that absolutely.
But also, back in the day, eight years ago, that was like, how can you stop this? Whereas now teams are actually finding how to stop this.
I think it's more so that Spain just don't bother running anymore. I think they're a really lazy team.
That's what they picked up when they brought on Aspas, and they switched it up a bit and had actual players running into the channels and trying to drive at the defence.
Exactly. A bit of incisiveness.
I mean, if you want to win a match, you're going to have to work hard at some stage. And Spain just seemed content to just pass the ball around the midfield. The four of us could go onto the pitch and do that for a couple of hours.
Well, maybe three.
But you know what I mean? They offer nothing. They're really boring to watch.
I agree. They lack incisiveness.
I'm not sorry to see them gone. I didn't want Russia to get far because they're really crap as well.
Who are Russia playing next?
Croatia. So I'd be hoping.
Are they just going to sit back and have another boring version of that game?
Costa playing well was going to bring out their incisiveness a bit more.
He seems to just lose form though.
When he started well, you're like, great, he's on form. Because remember, was it the last tournament, the last Euros? They played Fabregas as a false nine. Was that the last tournament in the Euros?
2012. But like, they were really good in that tournament.
Yeah, but like, you're like, if you have no centre forward, you've got no real focal point of attack, this is just going to be a kind of boring pass all game round, which is kind of happened. But they had plenty of, obviously back then the point was that they weren't found out, like no one could play against them.
Well, that's because they were younger.
But teams have kind of
learned out by Portugal, who they had to use penalties to get around.
But teams have kind of learned to counteract
that tactic is dead now. I mean, 2014, they had a disastrous tournament. Euro 2016, they were well beaten by Italy. Yeah. I think it was Italy. And then now in the World Cup, they went out in the second round. So you can safely say Spain had their golden era, and they capitalized. And in fairness to them, while they had their golden era, they struck and they won a World Cup and two European Championships. There's a lot of teams that have golden eras that win nothing, so they can be satisfied with that. No, they've just gone back.
I would argue they need to make just changes to their tactical setup.
I think there's a lot of great players there. Yeah, there is, but I think they've become like many other international teams that are good teams just that have great players, and that's it. I think the Spain around 2010 were like this team, like Brazil in 1970 or something. You know, these teams that come on very
once in a generation.
A lot of international teams, or you have a lot of good international teams, but it's very rare you'll have a great international team. Just because of the nature of the beast, like
that dominates for a few years,
I'd say Spain are just another good international
team. They kind of faded away. I get you.
But like, I think that I'm hoping that Russia will get knocked out. I mean, they're a poor side. They were playing for penalties.
I'd like to point out that I missed the preview show before the World Cup when all of you said that Russia are an awful team and will lose in the first round. Am I right in saying that?
Yeah, we said they'd get knocked out in the first
round.
And
who predicted Germany would win the World Cup?
I don't know.
Germany to make the quarterfinals or semifinals anyway.
We all backed France
to win it.
I wouldn't be pleased. France
beating who in the final?
France versus Spain, actually.
Oh, Spain, sorry.
Yeah. And anyone have Argentina to do well?
We rescued them.
Yeah, I wanted them to get knocked out in the group stage, which they nearly did.
Yeah. We'll actually get to Argentina now because a friend of the show, Adrian Collins, his voice will be coming from somewhere else, and he had something to say on the WhatsApp group that he wanted to say on air, so we're going to give him the floor now. So Adrian, you put something into the WhatsApp group today, which of course we've referenced a few times. So you wanted to make a point about Lionel Messi and I suppose the disorganisation of Argentina and how that's kind of let him down.
Yeah, so I think obviously the big thing that we've talked about in that WhatsApp group over and over again is the way that people seem to have framed the whole World Cup by the fact that if Lionel Messi doesn't win it and he didn't win the previous one, then he's not as good as Maradona or he's not as good as Ronaldo, because Ronaldo managed to bring his entire team with him to the final in 2016, all that sort of stuff. That, I think, is a really unfair portrayal of what he has done for the national team and in return, how little the National Football Association has done for him. If you look back over the years, kind of up until I think Grondona was in charge until more or less he died, I think, in 2014. But the way in which they conducted their business before that were to give managers with definite styles of play long tenures in charge. Now, I know that's changed overall. Managers get less time in the job. But if you look at the players or the managers they had in, they had Menotti, they had Bilardo, they had Passarella, they had Bielsa even in. I think Bielsa was there for 6 years. And then since then, since 2006, they've had Basile, who had been in charge. They kind of went back to something they thought it would work. They gave the job to Maradona. And I was trying to think of in 2008, right?
Yeah.
2006 is around the time where I think Messi broke into the Barcelona first team and he became a star that everybody said, this guy can win a World Cup with his country. And his country went out of their way to give him the worst selection of managers in the world to try and see if he could pull them through simply on his own, as if to prove that he was better than Maradona. Like, I can't think of a single equivalent of giving the job to Maradona. Do you know his last job before he took over at Argentina was in 1995?
Hang on, Ireland gave it to Steve Staunton back in 2000.
What about England and Paul Gascoigne?
They didn't.
If they did, Ireland gave it to Steve Staunton, an equivalent. Well, they did.
It would be the equivalent of Paul Gascoigne doing that now.
Yeah, exactly. That's what I mean. Yeah, if England, if Gareth Southgate wasn't an option,
he still did okay. Yeah. He got them to the second round of the World Cup.
They got the quarterfinals and they got spanked by Germany.
Did they make the quarterfinals?
He was there, and coincidentally, they also got to the quarterfinals of the World Cup. You were not correlated in any way.
That's probably a more accurate way of framing it.
It's pretty harsh on Diego.
He wore a nice suit. I'll give him that.
I remember he was completely nuts on the sideline.
Oh yeah, as you'd expect.
He's still
though.
Nuts and on the sideline now.
I think he was tired and emotional the last night.
But yeah.
Well, Maradona was in charge for their 6-1 loss to Bolivia, which is still, I think, their worst loss in qualifying, possibly. Like that record. The only justification for that decision was to say, well, at least we tried it with Maradona. But when you have the best player in the world, you owe him better than to say, well, at least we tried this random thing that somebody thought of. It's a bit like sending
Dustin to the Eurovision, you could say. You know, the public opinion would say this has to work, but in reality, it's very different.
Did public opinion say it had to work?
Well, I mean, the Eurovision's a big stage. Dustin mightn't have had everything in him. I didn't notice him being tired and emotional during the Eurovision at any stage.
But like listen to people talk about Argentina, they will all say whatever about anybody in Argentina, nobody can touch Maradona in public opinion.
Yeah, and I understand that, and in the same way that we all it's trying to find an equivalent.
Jack Charlton would be our closest, would it?
Yeah, Jack Charlton, maybe Johnny Giles, like we respect
Paul McGrath.
Yeah. You wouldn't at any stage, had we just qualified for the World Cup, give them the job of managing the team.
No.
You wouldn't consider it at this stage of their careers. Not that they'd be interested in taking it, but I just can't see why that would be an option. And, I mean, it's not the only name on that list. Like, they had Sabella, they had Tata Martino, they had Bauza, who was in charge for less than a year, and then they took Sampaoli away from Sevilla, causing a massive ruction there to bring him back for this World Cup. And that hasn't worked out at all. And Sampaoli was actually, I think he's a really good manager. I think he's the type of manager that could have done a lot with his team if they'd given him the proper time to do it. But I mean, you look at the circumstances in which Tata Martino stepped down. He stepped down just after Messi left, retired. Like, this is when Messi inevitably probably retires after this World Cup. It's not the first time that he's done that. But part of the reason was because Martino retired when he hadn't been paid in 7 months when he left the job.
And like, but what about the whole thing of that? Well, Messi did play in a World Cup final.
He did play in a World Cup final with the manager in that instance, Sabella. It was very clear throughout the whole process that the players had no respect for him. Like, there's that clip of Lavezzi spraying water in his face. Like, it might have been a kind of, oh, I'm messing with my mate here, but that's not how a manager is supposed to be treated in a dressing room. The entire managerial situation is one thing. The financial situation the AFA found themselves in 2016, I don't know, do you remember, FIFA came in and took over as a committee because they found such kind of, they were bankrupt. They were essentially bankrupt. Messi, apart from anything else, there were rumours that he stepped in and paid for the team's security detail to protect them, but he paid their wages, their back wages, and they hadn't been paid in nearly 10 months. Like, the amount of things that Messi has done for that team, apart from on the pitch, and simply keep them afloat. And when he retired and came back, a large part of the decision for him to come back was financial. Argentina had sold a load of friendlies on the fact that Messi would turn up, and they needed the 20 to 25 million quid that was going to bring into the coffers, because otherwise they were broke.
And they're screwed now if he retires.
They are, entirely. And, like, just the shambolic way that the nature of the preparations for the game were, for their friendly was cancelled before the World Cup with Israel. They had very little time for Sampaoli.
That was the correct decision, I think. That was a player decision, like.
Yeah, absolutely. But why did the AFA organise it in the
first
place?
Yeah,
yeah. So none of that puts your best player. You have a duty when you have produced, possibly by fluke, because he spent most of his career, formative years, in Barcelona, and he's still decided to play for Argentina. So you have a duty to get your house in order, to give him the environment to succeed. You look at the Portuguese team, the players they put around Ronaldo have not always been brilliant, but they've been of a standard. That's not, you can't really say that about Argentina, especially not in this World Cup.
No.
There were a lot of names on that team sheet that people just went, I've never heard of him. If you're not watching Argentine football, Argentine league football.
Yeah, there was a few now. Some of them don't all play in Argentina, but Meza, Acuna, all these kind of lads. And I'm like, I like to think I know a fair few players, but not those lads.
Yeah. Well, like, the coach just didn't seem to really know what he was doing.
Partially because the whole atmosphere was chaotic. Sampaoli has a definite idea of how he wants to play, and as it turns out, that doesn't really suit Messi. So he had to adapt to getting the best out of Messi, and they ran out of time to do that. He couldn't find a system whereby he could get the ball to Messi in space, which is very difficult, because I don't think there's a single coach in the world who won't look at the Argentine team and go, well, maybe you might want to mark Messi quite closely. But the rest of the setup, you have to experiment with the team. You need time for that. And they brought him in under pressure because Argentina were about to not qualify for the World Cup. And then one of the crucial friendlies beforehand, where he could have experimented and learned a couple of lessons and got things wrong, they organized in a tense political situation where they probably shouldn't have done that, and maybe organized some better friendlies. And then they were also handily beaten by Spain in one of those warm-ups, which is really damaging for the confidence. It's like, if you think as well, when was the last time you heard of a good performance at, say, an under-20 World Cup or an under-17, you know, tournament or whatever for Argentina?
Yeah. Mid-2000s.
They've stopped actually qualifying for them. If you look back, I don't think they qualified for the last under-20 World Cup. The Olympics in 2016, they were apparently, again, in such bad financial straits that they weren't going to send a team in the first place. And that was, I remember watching Messi play for the Argentine Olympic team. And it's a great place to blood talent, because it's high pressure. There's a prize at the end of it, and you get to learn what it's like to be in a team. All of that just seems to have broken down quite badly.
And what are they doing with their money?
They don't have any of it.
if you are getting so much money, selling out friendly matches for Messi and all that kind of stuff with Messi involved, like, what do you do with the money?
Well, in 2016, when their offices were raided and they were found to have been bankrupt with some kind of questionable money handling, the money was resting in their accounts, essentially. And
I love that phrase.
Oh, that's a great phrase.
Yeah, so essentially, the money was resting in their accounts. They have kind of gotten their houses a little bit more in order as a result of the fact that they were able to, after that 2016, sort of clean house. That doesn't mean that there weren't still some eyebrows raised. I mean, there was a presidential election where they have 75 members and the vote finished in a 38-38 tie. And you don't necessarily need to be brilliant at math to figure out that there was something funny going on there. But they're trying to restructure their youth system. Juan Sebastian Buran is in, Pablo Aimar is in kind of the same way that, like, you know, Damien Duff's gotten back into coaching in Ireland, and they're looking at some of the stars who have experience to kind of blood some of the youth players. In terms of turning around their money, I'm not sure what the size of their, you know, kind of repayments are necessarily after the bankruptcy, but it certainly looks bleak, as you were saying. If Messi retires, who else do you, as a paying football fan who loves football, want to turn up to watch play for Argentina?
This Messi fella.
Yeah, I mean, He looked pretty decent. I thought Pavon was pretty good as well during the tournament. But I mean,
they have some really good attackers. Still have Diablo, who's underutilized. Yeah. Like, they don't have nobody.
They have an unbelievable. They actually have a brilliant team. I was making the point last week that when you look at some of the European teams that do very well, they do very well building a whole team around one player.
Yeah, I mean, there's a chance as well that, like, you just have so many good attackers. That's another thing I suppose you need to look at the organization themselves for. You have so many good attackers that when was the last really dominant Argentine centre back? And I mean, you think about Argentine centre backs, there's a long history of really good ones. Passarella, the obvious one.
I'd say you have to be going, you're definitely going back.
Ayala, Walter Samuel, those kind of guys.
Yeah.
Ayala, Walter Samuel, lads that you knew that if you went past them, the ball might go past or you might go past, not both of them. those lads were serious players. And maybe Gabby Milito, who was unfortunately plagued by injuries and was therefore not the player he could have been. But they haven't produced a solid or decent defender since then, the best being Nicolas Otamendi.
Yeah. But I suppose before we do let you go, Adrian, we're actually watching the England-Colombia game as it happens, and it's coming towards the end. Football is coming home, but in a very nervous walk home. Who are you predicting for the World Cup now, actually? Because you weren't here for the preview show.
Is it coming home? As we speak, are we going behind the curtain here? As we speak, England are playing Colombia.
Yes.
I quite like Colombia's style. The only two teams that have actually given me any real joy and not caused me to yell at the TV in frustration were Mexico and Peru, and both of those have gone home. I would have liked to have seen one of them win it.
Mexico looked kind of shagged, I thought, for most of the game against Brazil, though.
Yeah, I think they were just out of energy. They'd worked so hard in the previous group games.
Peru were my favourite team.
Peru were just so desperately unlucky. And the story of their, 38 years without a World Cup.
Like Denmark didn't offer an awful lot and just got through because they got a lucky goal against Peru, basically.
Yeah, Sweden don't offer a lot. I thought Croatia were good, but then they were so bad in their last game. So nervous.
But they could also be a team struggling for energy now as they go deeper into the tournament.
Yeah, I mean, Luka Modric, apparently they brought it up during the commentary, but that he'd covered more ground than anybody. I think Brian Kerr, the brilliant Brian Kerr, brought it up during commentary to basically say that he had been covering more ground than anybody in the group stages previous to this, and Modric looked knackered by that game.
And even his penalty wasn't a good penalty.
No, it was quite poor, and it looked like the penalty of a tired man. From somebody, but like, why is Modric taking that penalty? Why don't you have somebody step up? Like, why isn't your striker taking it? Why isn't somebody who's a dedicated goal scorer? It's not that Modric is a bad striker of the ball, but I just wouldn't have put him as my number one penalty taker. But anyway, all that's besides the point. I mean, it looks like Brazil are going to
unfortunately. The way they play, yeah.
Yeah, I would like to see France actually, like, the fact that France have such a good team and play on the counter-attack is a real shame. And if they actually controlled a couple of games from this stage, like if we saw good performances from their midfield, from Pogba and Griezmann, to actually decide that they aren't going to play reactive football and will play instead proactive attacking football, they deserve to win it. They are the best squad, with probably without the... I mean, Brazil's squad is probably the best, except for all the diving and the whinging. I would quite like to see that France side do well, because I think there are a couple of really good players who might get a bit less flack. Like, if Paul Pogba won a World Cup, there might be a bit less flack day to day.
I would like that for Paul Pogba. Yeah. It's just a shame that, as I said, it took them to go 2-1 down against Argentina to show anything that they actually could play a game. And Mbappe was so good breaking out of his own path for that winning that penalty.
It was great to see Mbappe announce himself like that.
But it's like, how
this youngster Mbappe. Like, as everyone pointed out, he was 180 million quid last summer.
Everyone
knew who he was.
But it's just that he didn't actually do an awful lot last season.
I know, but if it was last year, you go, yeah, fine. Okay, yeah. Like, he did well for Monaco. But like, everyone knows who he is for the last last year and a half. And everyone, and like,
it's a fair
point. I think
point.
It was Dunphy on RT. He was like, this youngster now, he's announced himself.
Well, I say breakthrough, I meant literally how he broke through.
Yeah,
the whole
I was going for the Dunphy side.
this
young fella cost 10 grand on some long league side.
So, Adrian, your final verdict, France, is it?
Yeah, I'll go with France.
Good stuff. You're
we all went with
you're
France.
Properly in the family, yeah. So anyway, look, we'll let you go. This England coming home is actually ticking towards stoppage time, so we're going to get back to this game. Best of luck. Hopefully we see you in here again very soon.
Chat to you.
All right, that was Adrian Collins, friend of the show and our semi-regular attendee within this studio. Now, we're ticking into stoppage time. It is now, I think, 5 minutes have been given. England are winning 1-0 and football is slowly coming home. That penalty, obviously, is what brought the difference.
I mean, the hype levels are going to go through the roof now, but like, it is great. I think having England going deep into a tournament just makes things, when we don't have any interest in it, makes
they play Sweden after this, yeah. Through. Like, Sweden Colombia is a nothing game for me. I wouldn't
watch
that.
The only issue for me now is, yeah, hype's going to go into overdrive after this. They're going to look past Sweden into a World Cup semi-final and lose to Sweden in the quarter-final.
This is the thing, England have played Sweden a huge amount of times
and not gone, and apart from Euro 2012 you always talk about with Andy Carroll's
That's
the only time.
They're actually, but the England Sweden games are actually usually very good. But England's usually like, England find it tough against Sweden.
Because Sweden can actually match up in terms of the set piece and all that side of the game. And they used to play 4-4-2.
And Sweden are very familiar with the type of football England play.
Oh, yeah. Sure, most of their players, well, not all of them, but there's a fair proportion that have or do currently play in England.
I don't think the Sweden team like is as good now as the kind of ones of Freddie Lundgren.
Yeah, no. Are we looking at them in the semis already?
They're a better team than that one, but they don't have as good of individuals.
That's the big thing. Zlatan's all that, you know, has obviously been in the Sweden squad for the last 10 years.
Is he doing credit card ads or something?
The right call not bringing him back.
Absolutely. Well, it shows. I mean, they're into the quarterfinals of the World Cup, and not yet. Well, they're into the quarterfinals.
Yeah, Sweden are in their quarterfinals of the World Cup.
Oh, no, sorry, you're saying Sweden. Sorry, I thought you meant
Sweden. Yeah, Sweden are in the quarterfinals. You know what I mean? So they obviously have made the right decision in terms of not bringing Zlatan. Obviously, his ego was a bit of an issue. You would suggest.
Oh, it was very close.
Bloody hell!
Crossing strike.
Ooh. I'm sure everyone's listened to the point there.
Sorry, just for the listeners, there was a shot, I think it was Uribe from about 40 yards.
They're all agreeing with me.
And it's in top corner. My heart actually jumped for a minute. But sorry, go on. We all really care.
Can I just make the point as well? We were talking about this off air that Football's Coming Home is one of the greatest football songs.
Somebody in here said Vindaloo is actually better.
I said Vindaloo was better.
Colombia have equalised in the 92nd and a half.
It's never simple with
and ruining our plans for the show as well in the process.
Click record again. So
up there.
But we're going to have to wrap the show.
We're going to have to wrap up anyway.
And like, listeners, the only reason we're annoyed is because, well, we were saying it's better England getting France turned, but it also means now that after us talking about the whole game, now we're not going to be able to give you the outcome because we have to go off air in 2 minutes.
Because, of course, this is not live.
Yeah.
Dear. I could see it coming, though.
I say that now.
they retreated back too far. There in the last few minutes, they were gone very defensive.
It's a great header.
Here's that in the line.
It's Yerry Mina again, isn't it? He scored two.
It's
of
a great
those.
Header because it's the bounce.
They
have a covering man on the. I don't know who that is.
Trippier.
And he actually gets very close to it, but it's the bounce. You can't do anything about that.
He beat Harry Maguire in the air there. Harry Maguire shouldn't be losing, and I mean as a good.
Jeez, England never make it easy. Like I think like that side of the draw is just so average that like you do for our interest. If for interest, you want England to get through because as we were saying, an England Sweden game is monumentally more interesting from an Irish point of view than Sweden.
Colombia. No, absolutely.
And like England are going to get better chances than this to go far into a World Cup.
They were three, four minutes away from going to the quarterfinals.
Now we're going to extra time.
Ireland against Macedonia in 99, was it?
Right, except Ireland got knocked out from the
Yeah, absolutely.
Anyway, look.
10 seconds to cling on here.
It's going to be half time now and England have to pick themselves up. Or going to be full time and England have to pick themselves up now for this extra time.
penalty slots.
Get over here talking.
It's nil all again. It's nil all again. New game.
You get over there. Yeah.
I'm going to have a word with Harry Kane. I'm going to go over there and have a word with Harry.
Score a goal. Yeah. There's a great poster in the crowd today saying Harry Kane, score a goal. They got that tactical analysis spot on. He scored a goal.
My bonus has gone mad as well. You know, because I'm so popular with all my WhatsApps from all my football groups.
All your English fans.
Yeah, all my English fans. This is where this is where I form all my opinions by just
listening
to
here.
People's WhatsApp opinions.
I should go all out here to try and
That's it, he's going to blow it up.
Do a Japan on it.
Jesus, England.
By the way, we didn't mention Japan. Can I just say
it was an unbelievable match.
Yeah, a great game.
They were brilliant.
Yeah. Horrendous look.
I actually thought it was the best match of the second round.
It was brilliant.
They do,
and fair play to Belgium for coming back in 2 days.
And they always acquit themselves all right. They always do. They do not. Yeah, they always do. Like,
but everyone was laying it to Honda yesterday for taking the corner.
No, I think Japan were shagged and he knew that they had
to
score.
Yeah.
I think that was experience telling him, let's win it, try and win it now. There's another 20 minutes or 30 minutes to go and that could ruin us.
Honda's right now, in fairness.
You could end up losing 4-5-2.
Honda's right now, in fairness. Tactically, they were naive in terms of leaving a massive gap in the middle of the park. When they all went for the corner, they should have had more men back. But Honda was certainly dead right to go for that corner.
He was. The only mistake was, I thought they committed too many men forward.
That's exactly the point.
What a few days makes when everyone's criticising Japanese for not being adventurous enough against Poland.
I love the way they went for it, though, in the last minute. Rather than playing defensive and like keeping the ball in the corner, they actually went for the win. But that winning goal as well, the breakaway goal to win it, was just like the whole second half incredible.
The interesting thing about that goal was the minute the keeper caught the ball and went to throw it, I was like, oh, they're in massive trouble here.
And it didn't stop.
Normal time is over. Of course, if you're listening on the radio tonight, obviously you know how this panned out, and football is coming home or maybe. You'll find out. But anyway, I think that's it pretty much for this side of this week's show.